We're not going to talk about sin a whole lot here this morning, but I just want to say that it was because of sin that Jesus came to the earth and died. Sin brought about the effects of death and condemnation upon mankind. Jesus brought upon mankind redemption and a salvation from sin, and that's what we celebrate today in this service. Last Tuesday in Ranger at prayer meeting, I've been going through the book of Revelation, and I get really interested in Revelation 14. The whole concept that a God put a movement, put our movement here on earth for a reason, and God did it by design, that's exciting to me. You are part of something that God designed, ordained, and put into motion. Now, the fact is, God is not obligated on us to finish the work, as we call it. If we fail at our job and fail at our task, I'm sure God has many more ways to accomplish that work. But let your attention today go to 1 Corinthians 15. And let me just repeat again the words here that were chosen for our scripture reading. This has to do with the gospel. And it's the foundation of the first angel's message in Revelation chapter 14. As John said, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." John did not invent that gospel. The Apostle Paul is known as the preacher of the gospel. He's known as the missionary to the Gentiles. And he used this whole story, which includes the Lord's Supper. I don't want to use the word allure, even though we are told that Christ presents his blessings in the most alluring terms. The Apostle Paul knew how to tell the story of redemption in such a way that it would capture the minds of the Gentiles and they would say, "I want that. I want what Paul has." That's the same gospel that you are supposed to have. Now let's read here, 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." So, he says, "I've preached unto you the gospel and you received it and you're standing on it." That's your big thing. Verse 2, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." I was thinking earlier about that phrase, "unless you believed in vain." You know, I don't know anyone who understands everything they need to understand when they're baptized. If you know a person, I wish you would tell me their name. I think people should understand the basic rudimentary points of Scripture and the main point, of course, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that He came, that He lived, that He died, that He rose again and ascended into heaven. That's the gospel in summary form. I don't know how a person can believe that in vain unless in the belief, they never put the belief in action. What you do today in the celebratory part of this service is really a demonstration of your faith in action. Who in their right mind would want to take their shoes off and get their feet wet just to participate in something they don't believe in? Now, it would be a little easier to sit in the pew and taste the juice and to eat the broken bread, that takes less effort. But none of us fully understand the real meaning when Jesus had said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This represents, the juice represents my blood which is shed for you." Oh, we can give the Bible texts that talk about it. But the deeper meaning to me is found in that experience of knowing that Christ loves me, that He died for me, that He's coming back to receive me, and what I do today simply is a continuation of my way of telling that story that I believe. I challenge you to show me something in Scripture that makes our participation in this service based upon performance, right performance. Now, you believe in holiness. You should. Right living is taught in Scripture. But this service today, it's the time to renew our walk with the Lord, to have sins symbolically washed away, and to be given a brand new start in our spiritual journey. Isn't that a wonderful thing that Christ gave to us? This is connected to the gospel. How can you have the gospel without having the continual, eternal, enduring power of God working for you? I just don't see how you can. Back to the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, then we're going to separate. It says here in verse 3, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now, if He died for our sins, guess what? We can receive it. It's a gift. It cost Him His life. Verse 4, "And that He was buried, that He rose again the third day." And did you notice at the end of verse 3 it says, "according to the Scriptures"? At the end of verse 4 it says, "and according to the Scriptures"? I spoke this morning on the authority of the Bible down at Ranger, and how that through all of these centuries, the Bible has been supernaturally kept of God and preserved. I may just talk about that here someday. But the stories that come to us, I know we can trust those stories because they've been supernaturally held in print and stamped upon the hearts of mankind by the Holy Spirit's power. I just believe we can trust it. And when the Scripture says that when we do this, we do show the Lord's death until He comes, it tells me that we should be enjoying the benefits of this service as long as we possibly are allowed by law to do so, and we can have this privilege as a witness, maybe right up to the very coming of Christ. Wouldn't it be something to be experiencing the communion service when you begin to hear the trumpet sound? Someday it's going to happen to someone. Might be us, who knows?